Hello, I'm John Ellis, and welcome to episode 84 of Pittodrie PS, the predominantly Dons-based podcast featuring not just the Dons' first team, but a look across the age groups and genders at the club. And we focus on the respective progress of Cove and Peterhead too, as and when they're making some, as well as the North East local representatives in the Highland League and juniors, and not just football, but any sport making headlines in the North East of Scotland or featuring someone from the North East of Scotland. Joining me for this journey, as always, Andrew Shiney and Dave McDermott. So here we are recording this episode on the morning of Tuesday, May 30th, 2023, looking back upon the St Mirren game at Pittodrie last Wednesday and the season-ending match versus Celtic, which thankfully didn't matter a damn in terms of the campaign. First of all, to the one that did count, Aberdeen versus St Mirren, which finished 3-0 to the Dons with a brace for Graham Shinney and a cracker by Leighton Clarkson. Your thoughts on that one, Andrew?
Well, it's just a shame that that wasn't the last game of the season, isn't it? And then we had to go to Celtic Park after it. But as far as those that just go to Pittodrie, the last game of the season was so memorable for so many reasons. I mean, it was the perfect scenario for Aberdeen, wasn't it? Win your home game and then trust in Rangers. Imagine ever thinking that as an Aberdeen fan. Trust in Rangers. A minute into the game, comes through the news that Lauren Shankland has scored for Hearts. You're thinking, oh, for God's sake, they're going to lie down and is going to have to go to the game at Celtic Park. But no, the Leighton Clarkson free kick that just settled everything down was a thing of beauty. I mean, when you see it from behind the goal, it really is threading a ball through the eye of a needle, isn't it? Just getting it inside that near post, perfectly struck free kick. He's done interviews since sobering up after Wednesday and has said how much he practices that type of thing. So it's no fluke. The guy is a little genius with a football at his feet. But we'll talk about Leighton, I'm sure, more in the later on in the programme. But it was so funny. 5 minutes before half-time, you know, the game's still kind of on a knife edge, although St Mirren are down to 10 men. And on that occasion, VAR did work properly. Don Robertson's initial thought it was a yellow card. He was called across by the VAR, looked at the screen, and you could see it, as everyone could see, this clear a red card as you're ever going to get. And credit to the guy, Kerry Small. He knew he had done wrong. He was straight across to Bojan Miowski after the tackle, apologising, looking after his welfare. And when the red card was shown, absolutely no protest from anyone, and just walked off. That's the way to do it. But just before halftime, you know, as I say, game's still on a wee bit of a knife edge. Hearts still winning at Ibrox. Ball comes back to Angus McDonald and he blooters this thing miles up into the air. And Barry in front of me is going, for goodness sake, or worse to that effect, calm down and just play a pass. And I turned to Gordon Simpson and I said, wouldn't it be a laugh if we score from this? It comes out of the sky. Ross McCrory takes a great touch, sends it to Marley Watkins. Next thing you know, he's played a ball in the middle. Joe Shaughnessy stretches out, tries to knock it clear, only knocks it towards his own goal. Trevor Carson makes a great save. Who's on the spot to put a very neat header into the corner of the net? Graham Shinney. Cue pandemonium at Pittodrie. And I just thought, well, there you go. 2 seconds ago, Barry's tearing his hair out, and now he's probably going, maybe goals don't always come as things of beauty. But yeah, then to get the third goal, well, first of all, you got the equaliser at Ibrox. All of a sudden, the pendulum has turned again in Aberdeen's favour. Half-time comes and goes. 4 minutes into the second half, Rangers have taken the lead. Graham Shinney has scored with his right foot. A thing of a rare thing, has to be said. And then you were able to relax and enjoy the game right through to the end. And we're still thinking it's 2-1 down at Ibrox, big celebrations, and then all of a sudden the news comes through, it's 2-2, and we're thinking, oh no, how much longer is there to go? Have Hearts got a chance of getting an equaliser? The celebration was dimmed for about 30 seconds, and then news came through, it was full time. The place just went mental. The dressing room scenes were crazy. I had done the pre-match tour with the sponsors and said how the table set out, Dave, with the Lucozade and the various gels that players take, et cetera, the energy supplying foods that were laid out. And I said, you'll never see fags and beer in a dressing room nowadays. What did we see at the end of the game?
Well, I hope not fags.
No five, but pizzas and loads of beer, and the beer going absolutely everywhere. But it was a joyous occasion, and you know, huge credit to Barry and to all the guys behind the scene for the part that they played, but mostly to the players, because they were the ones that went out there on the pitch and did their stuff. But also to the Aberdeen crowd, who really got behind them from first whistle to last, and they reaped the rewards. In a season that we never thought would end in this fashion, it was just one of those special moments that football can throw up for you.
Absolutely. A couple of things there. Firstly, on Leighton Clarkson and him saying that he, you know, he practices those free kicks all the time. I seem to remember a Barry Robson doing the same thing, staying behind after training and practicing and practicing and practicing free kick after free kick after free kick. On the subject of that tackle, I don't know about you, Dave, but I mean, when we saw it in slow-mo, I was like, oh my God, that looks horrific. Thankfully, not as bad as all that. And great scenes afterwards, as Andrew says. Never really in any great doubt, was it?
Well, we did say, both Andrew and myself, this time last week, that didn't expect it to go to the final day. And there was a few nervy moments, such as Shankland scoring very early on at Ibrox. But the longer the game went on, and to be honest, after the first goal, and I certainly felt more relaxed, and I'd have every faith that Rangers would do the business down at Ibrox, of course. And it was so great to get it with a game to spare, because as we've alluded to, if in January we'd put that scenario to any of us, we'd have bitten it and said it's highly unlikely that to happen. And so, you know, the job that Barry's done has been fantastic, and the rest of the staff. So well deserved.
Safe to say Graham Shinney had been desperate to get out there, Andrew. Will we see a deal being done for him now? I mean, it's never at any point felt temporary since he's come back. I think it'd be a real shock now, wouldn't it, if he didn't stay?
Oh, I think if you just put it to Graham, do you want to stay at Aberdeen? You wouldn't have got the question fully out of your mouth before he said yes and signed on the dotted line. There's no question whatsoever that he is desperate to come here. When you look at all the different scenarios, you know, Wigan relegated, in financial difficulties, they want to get one of their bigger wage earners off their payroll. Everything points towards Graham Shinney coming back to Aberdeen. And you saw the passion that that guy has got for the football club when he scored the two goals. And it was such a lift for everyone around Pittodrie when you saw the team line come out, Ross McCrory back in, Graham Shinney back in, Duke back in. It just made all the difference. And he's a player that you desperately want to have at the helm next season. He's a leader. He's still got plenty in the tank. He's only 31. You know, he's as fit as a fiddle. And the desire is clearly still there. He loves the club. Everyone around the place loves Graham, and Barry is desperate to have him as his on course, on field leader next season and beyond. So I would be totally gobsmacked if there isn't an announcement made probably early in June that Graham has signed for Aberdeen. But until such time as it's all done and dusted, we can't say for certain, but I think it's as close to a certainty as you can possibly get.
Let's look at the Celtic game. I have to say, I feared this might happen because Ange Postecoglou had been changing it about, resting players here and there, little niggles and knocks about at this stage of the season. And his next massive game is the Scottish Cup final. So after the games where his players were effectively planning their summer holidays, they came back to the office again and stamped their authority all over this one. It looked a bit like shooty in at times, didn't it, Dave?
Yeah, after the first 25 minutes or so, during which time I thought we did coped okay, but as I mentioned to Andrew, that it was defending looked as though it was like back to pre-January. It was, you know, not acceptable, as Barry said afterwards, didn't want any more like more displays like that. You know, it probably was a game too far, given the exertions of and the emotions of Wednesday night, but you know, you've got a feel for the fans that were down there from you know, wearing red, that you know, their whole day was basically a waste of time, because that was not a, you know, and yes, I can understand, and obviously with the job done on Wednesday, it's not something that changes anything, But other than the fact that an Aberdeen team should not be losing 5-0 to anybody. But that said, Celtic, I thought, were back to their best, thankfully, because we all want them to do the business on Saturday from an Aberdeen perspective. And that team, it started with the one exception through suspension, Maeda wasn't playing, but that'll be the team I would have thought that will start the game at Hampden, and that was very much the Celtic that we've seen for most of the season, unfortunately for us. But you know, it's one that we'll want to forget very, very quickly.
No Don's team ever wants to lose 5-0 anywhere, Andrew, but are you prepared to just write this down as sort of mitigating circumstances?
I think there are a lot of mitigating circumstances. As Dave said, the emotion as much as anything else of Wednesday night would have been physically and mentally draining for a lot of players. And there was nothing to play for other than professional pride. Up until, you know, 20 minutes from the end, 2-0 against a rampant Celtic side would have been accepted. But to lose three goals in such quick succession at the end and it end up being a rout for Celtic, Barry would have been really, really angry afterwards. I thought he did well to contain his anger in the post-match interviews. I'm sure there were some fairly harsh words spoken in the dressing room about just what we were saying. It's not acceptable. It can never happen again. Because Barry has said on a few occasions, you know, referring back to the games prior to him taking over, he said, those sort of things will never happen again.
Yeah.
That one did, but it was against a Celtic side who had a lot to prove to their manager. And as Dave said, it was good to see that Celtic are back in the groove again. They just have to do it one more time next Saturday. And I think they will do against Inverness Cali Thistle. It would probably Billy Dodge watching on Wednesday night was thinking, you know what, we've got a wee chance here. As Hibs destroyed Celtic. And then on Saturday, as Celtic destroyed Aberdeen, he probably thought, they've still got that extra gear they can kick up. No, I think it was a game too far. There were a few players that were running an empty. It's just a reminder to everyone that you cannot let standards slip. You've got to be at it for every single game and for every single minute when you go down to Celtic Park. They play at a relentless pace. And as somebody else said, be prepared for that type of game in Europe, because we're going to be playing against decent quality opposition in Europe. We're not going to have qualifying rounds against clubs that you've got to Google to find out where they come from. You're going to have heard of these clubs. You'll have heard of a lot of their players. We're going to be up against it in Europe. We're going to need a very big, strong squad to be able to handle the Thursday, Sunday, when we'll get into it. But it was just a little reminder to everyone at Pittodrie, these are the standards that you've got to reach if you're going to be up there at the right end of the table next season. So job well done in the league, but just remember, you cannot let anything slip, because that's what's going to be expected of you. You've set a benchmark, now you've got to go and try and exceed it next season.
As you say, now we have to hope the Scottish Cup final goes to form with Celtic romping to victory. But play out the two scenarios for us here, Dave. Celtic win, we're all happy. We're into the area of European qualification that we've been aiming for. If not, what happens then?
Well, probably better for Andrew to explain, because I haven't really looked at my child. I'm so
confident we're not well done, John.
What do you mean, well done, John? You're the experts. I'm just throwing things at you, right? Okay, but Andrew, what happens?
We've still got a chance of getting through to the group stages if Inverness, but in the Conference League.
Yeah, I mean, I think what happens is if you finish third in the league and somebody else wins the cup, you then qualify for the third qualifying round of the Conference League. Win that, which we have done once. You go into the playoffs for the Conference League. Following that, you go into the group stages of the Conference League. But lose any of these ties, third qualifying round or playoff, and that's you. There's no trapdoor to fall further down into. The ideal scenario is the one where Celtic win the cup, complete the treble, Aberdeen then go into the qualifying, the playoff round for the Europa League. If you win that, you go into the group stages of the Europa League. If you lose it, you drop into the group stages of the Conference League. So it's a big difference. And for Hearts, they're going to be looking at it as well. Hibs are looking at it. They both hope that Celtic win the cup. Hibs more probably than Hearts, because Hibs wouldn't qualify for Europe at all if Cali Thistle win the cup. But I really think that Celtic have just shown this last Saturday that, you know, they've still got enough in the tank there that when they click, they just absolutely blow any opposition in Scotland away. So I think we're realistically looking at qualifying for the playoff stages of the Europa League, in which case the ties will be in the 24th and 31st of August. The draw for that is on the 7th of August, and then dropping into group stages either in Europa League or Conference League, and that means games in September, October, November and December. Big, big carrots dangling in front of everyone.
Basically, the only people wanting Inverness to win are Inverness fans and Rangers fans.
Billy Dodd's immediate family, yeah. It's a difficult thing to avoid, I know, Andrew, but we saw in Hearts this season how the matches can take their toll on a squad. How do we try and avoid that scenario?
Well, that's what I was saying. You know, we need a big, strong squad. I think we've seen in the last little while that what we have on the bench isn't really strong enough to turn a game or be trusted with starting a game when perhaps you're playing against, with all due respect to them, maybe a lower end of the table Premiership game on a Sunday after you've had a long trip on a Thursday night. So the recruitment's going to be very, very important. Some of the young players will step up. Ryan Duncan will get more game time. I'm sure Alfie Bavage will get more game time. Conor Barton, if he's still with the club, because he still hasn't signed a new contract as yet. But there's going to be a lot of to-ing and fro-ing in the transfer market. I think Matty Pollock, it would appear, is away and may not be coming back, although I'm sure feelers have been put out to Watford about what it would take to bring him back up here once again. Lane Clarkson is a very interesting one, because it would appear that Liverpool are amenable to either another year's loan or even selling him to Aberdeen. Leighton himself is sort of being quite cagey. He's going to weigh up all these options, but he's saying all the right things to keep everybody on tenterhooks that he may just sign for Aberdeen. I think if they were to be able to get that one across the line, that would be a huge statement of intent from Aberdeen. You know, to get a player of that quality on board for a number of years, somebody that you can almost build a side around, would be great. You're looking at Ross McCrory probably going to Bristol City. There'll be a transfer fee come in there. There's obviously increased prize money. This Europa League money, assuming that we do get into the Europa League playoff, there is going to be a pot of cash, but it's got to be used very wisely. There are some players that I think we've probably seen the last of at Pittodrie. Matty Kennedy possibly is one. It's going to be a big turnaround, as indeed it was when you looked at the starting 11 that started the first game of the season at Celtic Park, compared with that that finished the season also at Celtic Park, obviously. But there's been a fair turnaround in staff at Pittodrie, and that will happen again over the summers. It'll be interesting to see what type of player they are, because they're going to have to fit the Barry Robson mould as opposed to a Jim Goodwin mould or previously a Stephen Glass mould. From what we've seen of Barry so far, his mould is going to be pacey, strong, run-all-day players, but with bags of skill in there as well and real determination about them. And if we can get all that together, who knows? It could be a really good season next season.
Yeah, they're not cheap, those types of player, are they?
They're not, unfortunately. They're not. But who'd heard of Matty Pollock? Who'd heard of Ilber Ramadani? Who'd heard of Duke? Who'd heard of Bojan Miovski? These type of guys, Angus McDonald, you know, they're out there. The recruitment team have to be applauded for the work that they've done for last season. And I'm sure that a lot of work has been done ahead of next season as well. So watching this space is going to be extremely interesting this summer.
It's a question of who you can hold on to as well, isn't it? I mean, I think a lot of people are resigned to the fact that Ross McCrory might be leaving. Although, from what I understand, it's not a done deal. It's not done and dusted completely. The likes of Duke will have attracted attention from elsewhere, Dave. Who else do you think might be leaving? I mean, can you see him going? Can you see Miofsky's had a great debut season as well? What about fringe players too? Who do you think might be leaving that Andrew hasn't mentioned?
Well, I think, to be honest, Ante Stewart is an obvious one. I don't see him playing in Aberdeen again.
Not for Barry Robson's manager.
Likes of Conor McLennan, yeah. I think, will be away. Dean Campbell, possibly. Yeah. Although Dean, we know, he's probably not benefited from the fact he can play in a number of different positions. He's very much a utility player that never makes a position his own. So, and I think the other fringe players that are on loan that we haven't mentioned, they'll be away. There might be a couple of players that were brought in by Jim Goodwin, likes Jane Richardson. We've got Nicky Devlin coming for the right back position. He may not want to hang around if he's not going to be first choice, which I don't think he will be. So he may be persuaded to move on. I don't know. It will be interesting. And I think, to be fair to the board, I think they'll wait till Saturday till we're confirmed that Celtic have won the cup. And then it will be a fairly busy period starting then because I think Barry will get the funds that are needed to get that squad because they will have looked at Hearts last season. I'm sure and seen the fact it did take its toll because they still want to keep their league position up there right at the top of the table and get a good run in Europe. And with it will come money. But obviously, to stay at that level, you need to spend. And I think we'll... Dave and the rest of the board will be absolutely acutely aware of that. And I'm sure whatever we see, we're in safe hands in terms of moving forward. And as Andrew said, hopefully it will be a successful season next season because it was this time last year that we were looking forward to League Cup action with not really too much enthusiasm.
Another name that hasn't really cropped up recently is Vinnie Bisawen.
Yes.
Yeah. Vinny's gone back across to Holland and been largely forgotten because he's been injured, but he is still...
Seen him back around the corridors. Yeah. I have seen him...
He was back time. Across getting treatment in Aberdeen for a while. So, and I think he would be quite keen to come back. I think there was a clash with Jim Goodwin that caused his temporary demise, we hope. But he showed at times he offers a lot to the team, more than some of those that have been on the bench in recent weeks. He's one to keep an eye on as well.
Just in terms of number, Hearts did have quite a large squad. I mean, certainly up there with Celtic and Rangers, ahead of just about every other club in terms of the number. Obviously, it's going to be a matter of trying to get the quality in there as well, Andrew.
It is. I mean, when you look at the Hearts squads, bear in mind the injuries that they had. Craig Gordon, Halkett, Beningame, Liam Boyce, players who would have been first choices, but virtually missed the entire season through injuries. So there's a wee bit of leeway that can be granted to Hearts in that respect. But you do need to have, I think, 20 players who can all be first choice on that any specific day. And I don't think Aberdeen have got that just at the moment. You've got to have a big squad and... Liam Scales back from Celtic. You really hope that that's going to happen because I thought he came on in leaps and bounds, having Angus McDonald alongside him as opposed to Anthony Stewart, showed what a good player he is. He actually won the moment of the month. I noticed it's just been announced on Twitter that for his stunning strike against Rangers, you speak to any of his teammates, that misfit cross. Liam Scales was one of the big successes of the latter part of the season. But, there's definitely things that have to be improved. I was just looking at the actual breakdown of how the season went. We had our best home record in the entire time that there's been a 38-game top flight calendar. Won 13, drew 2, lost 4. Away from home, we were rotten, absolutely rotten. We conceded more goals than any other club in the Premiership in the season. Now, that cannot happen again. Fives at Tynecastle and Celtic Park, six at Easter Road, fours at Ibrox and at Dundee United, for goodness sake. Dundee United, who were relegated, couldn't buy a win. They gubbed us 4-0 down there. That just cannot be repeated. So there's things that have to be changed. There were things that were changing. The away form was getting better, but we still need to, we cannot have double-digit defeats away from home in terms, in numbers. Barry will be very well aware of that. Pittodrie is now a place to be feared by opposition teams once again. I think we haven't conceded a goal at Pittodrie since Kevin Van Veen scored his penalty in the 3-1 win against Motherwell. On that flip side, you've got to do better on the road. And one of the places we'll go on the road, just before we stop talking about the Dons and ex-Dons, etc., one of the places we'll go is Dens Park, where we'll run into a very familiar face to all of us, Tony Docherty. And I'm sure we're all delighted to hear that Doc has got that job down at Dens Park. He's been a long-time assistant of Derek McInnes. I think he's done in excess of 750 games as an assistant manager. It's the perfect fit for Doc. He stays in the area. It's a club that, to the outsider, looks to be on the up. There are things going on behind the scenes that I'm sure Doc will have been made well aware of, but he feels he can sort out. But I'm sure you'll both join me in wishing Tony all the very best. He's one of the good guys, isn't he?
Yes, of course. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, all the very best with that caveat, Dave, that...
don't even think about beating us.
Yeah. You'll have another. I would imagine Barry manages the team very much like Derek. I'm sure Tony will be exactly the same. So there'll be three teams next season that will be managed in a fairly similar way, I would have thought.
Yes. All right. Two final questions on the senior team before we move on to the under-18s. First of all, just any players on your radar that you think, well, yeah, we'd like to get them to come in and bolster the squad. Realistic players. I mean, I don't want, you know, oh, yeah, we'd like to go and get him and he's 50 million. Forget it. But any realistic players that you think, yeah, let's go and bring them in. Dave?
Well, I mentioned, half-joking last week, what about Ryan Fraser? Because he's totally out of favour at Newcastle. Yes, there's lots more money, obviously, down there, and there will be, I'm sure, Championship sides in for him. But he is an Aberdeen, he's a Cove lad, Ryan. He's at the stage of his career now. He's got to be thinking of football and what he's going to do after. I just think it would be a marquee signing. He was a brilliant player when he was here 10 years ago plus, but he's a better, more rounded player now. And although he was more rounded figure-wise then when he was at Aberdeen the first time. But I just, as I say, totally off the wall. But, you know, why not? There's a connection. And Barry knows him.
Andrew?
One player who's really stood out for me this season is Mark O'Hara at St Mirren. I think he's been excellent throughout. Big, strong, tall, good range of passing, good engine in him. Ticks a lot of the boxes that Barry would be looking to have ticked. Scores a goal, might be worth a punt, but you know, would he be a squad player? Because we're fairly strong in the middle of the park, but if Leighton Clarkson wasn't to come back to Aberdeen next season, I think Mark O'Hara could do a job in there. So just a thought.
What about you know, playing almost exclusively on Sundays, Kevin Van Veen? Anyone?
Kevin Van Veen, I think, has benefited from Stuart Kettlewell coming in there. Now, I don't know if this is fact or not, but watching him, I have got the impression that Kevin Van Veen has been told, stop going and fighting with centre-halves and concentrate on playing football. Because when he's played against us, all he seemed to want to do was batter centre-halves. Now, I think that stems back to a contretemps between him and Declan Gallagher, when I think Declan suggested to Kevin Van Veen that he wasn't fit to be in the same park as him, or words to that effect. Now, that was never admitted by Declan, but Kevin Van Veen came out and spoke after that game at Motherwell, and said, the disrespect that was shown to me by Aberdeen centre half was staggering.
It narrows it down, doesn't it?
It does narrow it down. But he's a goal scorer and he's skillful, but he's going to be 32. Now, is it one of those things where you have one brilliant season? He struggled to score goals at Scunthorpe prior to coming to Motherwell. There's talk of him possibly going back to Holland.
Yeah.
I think Motherwell, particularly seeing as Alan Burrows is the chief executive at Aberdeen now, would be safe, right? Bump the price up. Beat Alan Burrows for every penny we can get out of him.
I just wonder if, you know, even sitting on the bench on a Sunday ready to come on, I just wonder if it might be a decent squad signing. The final question on the senior team this season. Have you enjoyed the season?
I've enjoyed the end of it.
Yeah. But I think I said a few weeks ago, I can't remember a season of such extremities as we've had this one just passed, because January, that was the lowest of the low. And I've been, as we all have, we've endured plenty lows with Aberdeen, but January took some beating because the slaughtering we were getting, understandably, from just about everybody, you know, that week when we got the 5-0, the 6-0, and the game against, can't remember the name of the team that's in the Scottish. Yes, of course I can. Andrew said, enjoyed the end of it. And also, I've enjoyed it since Barry took over.
Yeah,
most of it. Yeah,
yeah. I think it's good that we've finished the season so well, and with Barry being in charge, seeing the difference that having somebody that can galvanise a squad and get them all moving in the same direction, because it would have really spoiled all the Gothenburg celebrations, etc. Had we been where we thought we were going to be in the midst of the despair back in January. We've finished the season well. Everybody wants to be part of Aberdeen again for next season, but there's a lot of work to be done to ensure that we're fighting at the right end of the table again next season.
Yeah, I just think if you'd written it as a screenplay and submitted it to Disney, they'd have just said, they'd have laughed out and said, that's unbelievable. And they do Mighty Ducks. Let's move on to the under-18s next, a season which had been sort of rattling along for most of it, just running out of steam ever so slightly towards the end, which begs a what-if question that I'll ask in a minute. After we look at their final game against Dundee United on Friday past at Cormac Park, how did it go, Andrew?
It didn't. the game was cancelled. Dundee United forfeited the game. So officially it'll go down as a 3-0 victory to Aberdeen, because United had played Friday, Sunday, Tuesday. They were down to using 14-year-olds, I think, because of injuries, etc. And it was of no benefit to either club that the game get played. The league title has been won handsomely by Hamilton Accies. Huge congratulations to them. They will play in the UEFA Youth League next season. Well, their first team play in League One. Such are the vagaries of football. But no, the game didn't go ahead, so the season's officially over. And I think there's been one or two other games that have been forfeited, because I think once the title was officially in the bag for Hamilton, there were some clubs that just said, well, is there any point in finishing off the fixtures? So I haven't seen a finalised league table, but Aberdeen will finish fourth or maybe fifth in the table. But as top scorers, but we conceded too many goals. So there will be a few changes made to the squad for next season because of players being too old. And some of them will go out on loan, the likes of Liam Harvey, Blair McKenzie may go out on loan. So there will be a changing of the guard for next season. I was speaking to Scott Anderson about it last Wednesday, and he said, we've got some really good players coming up from the under-16s who incidentally won the Club Academy under-16 title. So many congratulations to them, to Stuart Duff, to Johnny Hayes, to Derek Young, and all the rest of the coaches there. But Scott was saying where we've been very fortunate to have had Liam Harvey, Adam Emsley, Alfie Bavage in particular up front this last season. We're not going to have them because Adam and Liam will probably go on loan somewhere. Alfie will be a first team squad man. He said we've got some really good defenders coming through, but not so much up top. But if you can keep the back door shut, providing you can get just one goal in a game, that's enough to win it. So it'll be interesting to see how it goes next season. But at the age groups, you always know that there's going to be fluctuations that can be fairly wild between brilliant and awful for no apparent reason whatsoever. But I think they're in good shape. They're in good shape for the forthcoming season at under 18 level. But it was a disappointment that having led the way for so long, it just kind of fizzled out like a damp squib.
Yeah, and here's that what if. What if Barry hadn't been promoted to the first team, that he'd been in charge at that level previously? Would he have managed to get more out of the under-18s, do you think, Andrew?
I'm not sure, to be perfectly honest. As I said a few times, it was the first season as professionals for the vast majority of these boys, and it's a different scenario when you've been going to school and you've been coming in training in the evenings to coming in and doing a full day's work on the training ground and cleaning senior players' boots and clearing up dressing rooms and stuff like that that young players have to do. It's a different ball game altogether. And I think what I would say is they received an excellent grounding in the game from Barry Robson. And Barry's philosophy is one that is being replicated all down the age groups. So Stuart Duff and Robbie Hederman, who took over initially, and then Stuart Duff and Scott Anderson, who had them latterly, they'll have been telling them exactly the same things as Barry, maybe not quite so forcefully, maybe in a slightly different way, but the ethos would have still been the same. Run hard, work hard, do that first and foremost, and then the talent comes in on top of all that, and you've got a great chance. Yeah, I can see where you're coming from, wondering if Barry could have led them further in their quest for glory compared to the others, but I'm not 100% certain that would have been the case. But as I say, what they all will have is a great knowledge and a great platform to build on, courtesy of the work done with them by Barry Robson.
Yeah, I know you probably wanted to make a mention of some of the other age groups as well.
Well, the under-14s, they were across in Norway this weekend, ended up being beaten semi-finalists, bronze medalists in the under-14 Flint Mikasa Cup. They only lost one game, and that was to Arsenal, who ended up losing to Liverpool in the final. So they were in a 56-team competition, won eight of their games, I think they scored 21 and conceded only two. So they're,
it's not bad,
as I say. It's pretty damn good when they're up against, you know, the creme de la creme of European football at their own age groups. They more than hold their own. So it's a real success story, the academy. But, you know, a lot of folk look and go, well, why are not five, six, seven of them all coming through to the first team? It just doesn't happen that way. You'll get players who look brilliant at certain age groups, and then all of a sudden to take that extra step, and it's a step too far. Others who sort of plod up the ladder suddenly shoot right to the very top. So it's not an exact science, but if you can get, you know, a Connor Barden, a Ryan Duncan, a Jack McKenzie, an Alfie Bavage into your first team squad, okay, it's taken a number of years to get these players in there, but if you can be filtering players from your academy system into your first team squad, and then hopefully make a name and move for big bucks, you've been successful. There will be casualties on the way, but so far the work that's being done out at Cormac Park is bearing fruit for Aberdeen.
And that is the model that they're looking to make work. Juniors, Dave?
Yeah, the season finished on Saturday in the Championship. Bankside won Buckenhaven Hearts 2, which means Buckenhaven took the fifth and final promotion spot to the Premier League. Rothie Rovers won, Cruden Bay won, which means Rothie finished third, and Fraserby United 5, Lossiemouth United 0. The tables, just to give the ups and downs for the season, Cooter won the McBookie Premier League, and relegated are Bankery and Dufftown. Dufftown finishing bottom, and then up from the Championship are Sunnybank, Fraserby United, Rothie Rovers, Buckenhaven Hearts, and Newmacher United. That means a 16-team Premier League next season. And also joining the Championship again next season will be Hull Russell United, who took a year off this year because of lack of players. So they'll be a welcome re-addition to the leagues next year.
Okay, and one other match to mention before we wrap up for this season.
Yeah, the Cash for Kids game at Cove on Sunday, 2 o'clock. The former Aberdeen players, Andrew and I, are both involved doing the announcing duties. If we remember how to use a microphone, it's been a long time, it seems. It's some good names and good friends of ours taking part in that game, Andrew.
Yeah, Ian Jess is coming back. Darren Young, Manager of the Year in League Two, will be there once again. Chris Clark. Dean Windus is coming up. First time we'll have seen
Dean in a magazine.
Wow. Yeah.
He's recovered from yesterday. Will be.
Well, exactly. I mean, Josh scored in the 123rd minute in the playoff to put Sheffield Wednesday back up into the Championship. So Dino will be high as a kite on the success of young Josh, who I met for the first time, I think, at a Cash for Kids at Northsound.
It was the charity auction, wasn't it?
That's right. And he came in and he was battering a pair of Phil Collins autographed drumsticks around. And John McCreevy had to say to him, "Look, will you take him out of there before he wrecks the place?" So I took him out into the car park, and he showed that he had a bit of football skill at the age of three, which has stayed with him to the age of whatever he is now, 27, 29, whatever. But looking forward to seeing Dean once again. Phil Maguire and Richie Byrne, I think, are the two team captains. Darren Mackey will be playing. Jamie Langfield's coming up. So we'll look forward to Jamie. Thomas Cherney will be in the other goals. But lots of names that folk will recognise from the past. A lot of the ladies' team are going to play as well. The women's team. I've got to get my nomenclature right. The ladies, Aberdeen ladies, feed into Aberdeen women. So it's the Aberdeen women who are going to be playing. So, no, it's always a good day, a bit of fun. It's not going to be a serious game of football. You're not going to see folk flying into challenges, although Dean Windus is going to be there, so anything is possible. See if we can go one further than being sent off four times in a game. Wouldn't mention that to him. It's a good day. Davy Rowson, that's another one I haven't seen for a while. He's going to be coming up. And all in aid of a very good local charity.
And just remind us, it's at Cove, Dave, Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, Goodwill Stadium, Sunday afternoon, 2 o'clock, organised by our friend Graham Watt, who puts in a lot of work along with his missus to get everything ship-shape. I'm just hoping that, unlike last year, there's not about 300 raffle prizes that we've to announce at half time, because we were still announcing them when the second half was starting.
Done that.
2 o'clock gates open, 3 o'clock kickoff.
Okay. And can you take birth requests as well, Dave? Or
No,
half time. All right, that is pretty much it for episode 84 of Pittodrie PS, and indeed the show for another season. We break now until around the beginning of August, when we'll be back again for the new one, publishing once more every Tuesday if we can, always looking back to the Dons' previous fixtures and ahead to the next. Please remember to follow us on Apple or wherever you get your podcasts, and if you could rate and review us, tell us what you think of the show too, we'd be very grateful. Thanks for checking out Pittodrie PS. We'll see you next time.